Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Sebastian Gonzalez, Scott Thomas, and Ruben Paddock. Coming up on TMS, evacuate and then evacuate.
The pissers are available.
Prairie dog crowning.
Parking hacks with Brian.
Seinfeld siblings in a bucket.
Crikey, you've got brain worms.
Sister MacGuffin.
What we do in the dungeons.
There will be shadows.
Juno Mandela.
Doc Ock, master of puppets.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Oh, sorry, I'm a DJ.
Crazy Zelda Fitzgerald.
Full Dragon Con mode with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And some of your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs and alcohol can ruin your life.
There better be Coke left in that fridge, is all I can say.
The Morning Stream. This little piggy's going to market.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for August 29th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, man. So that music. Wait. Oh, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Way better today, by the way. I got to say. Today, much better day starting the show than yesterday was.
No internet hangups. You get some sleep and all that.
No internet hangups. I still got to bed at midnight, a little after midnight, but that was for a good reason as opposed to just a flying home on an airplane reason.
Right, right. For those who missed
it. If you want to know what it was, you got to listen to the pre-show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to give you any spoilers, but Brian did a fun thing, let's say that. Okay.
I did a fun thing.
Yeah. No, that's cool. But that's good. You back to normal. Actually, I'm a little surprised how that's a little intense. You go for a weekend away. Mm-hmm. Big social gathering, and you immediately come home on a red eye flight, and then you have to get caught up on everything, and then you immediately go to a big concert.
Yeah, and a late night concert, a concert with a big band and three and two opening acts. A large, I should say, big band. It wasn't. It was a popular band and two opening acts, and so it was like leaving Red Rocks at 10:45, 11 o'clock, and dropping off Uncle George and Aunt Barb.
And, how's parking at that venue? That's the one thing I meant to ask.
Well, if you have a Lyft sign in the front of your car,
you can
go up to the top.
I didn't think about this
like
little
you're
benefit.
Dropping people off, and that's kind of what I did. I basically took George, Barb, and Tina up to the top, had the Lyft sign in. They moved the little pylons over so you can get through. I took them all the way up to the top and then dropped them off and said, all right, wish me luck. And then I go down to the next parking lot, which they close off because it's quote-unquote full. And it's really just a counting error on their part because there were still at least 20 spots in the second lot, the second highest lot. The top lot is 12 parking spaces. You're not going to park up there.
Yeah, no way.
But the one below that is it's just a stairway walk up to the top for Red Rocks. And so I rounded the corner basically in a spot where I was out of visual range of the people that moved the pylons for me and the people up at the top. And I just go, yoink. And I pull the little USB-C cord that my light up Lyft sign is attached to, and it pulls down into the seat. I catch it, I shove it into the corner in the car there in the front seat, and then I just go to the next parking lot.
I love this. This is clandestine. I like it. It's like a little sneaky thing.
It's the first time I've ever tried it, but I've kind of always wanted to do it after after taking a lot of people up to Red Rocks and seeing that there's always spots in the second to highest lot.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I could park there. I could totally do it.
Hell yeah. No, I think this is great. This is like that Simpsons episode where Homer pulls into a handicap spot and then drags his foot to the front door of the store. It's a little bit like that.
It's not like that at all. That's a horrible thing.
It is a horrible thing. It is a horrible thing. However, it is like, in Homer's mind, it might be the same, I guess. Yeah, now that I think about it.
Exactly. In Homer's mind, it's okay. I am, and never would in a million years take a spot away. I don't care how close to Prairie Dogging I am. I'm not going to take that big, the big stall in a public bathroom, even if the other stalls are taken. You know, speaking of which, got irritated with that in the Atlanta airport.
Bathroom story. Let's do tell.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
So, sitting there at the gate with T, and I'm like, oh man, all right, yes, I've got to go do it. I've got to go poop at an airport, public airport toilet. Damn it. Ugh. Second least favorite thing, and I think we can probably agree on the worst place to have to do that.
Yeah.
So, walk into the bathroom, and there's a guy waiting. So like, there's all the urinals, and then there's all the stalls, and there's a guy waiting there. I'm like, oh yeah, see, there's a couple urinals available, so I know why you're waiting. And guy comes out, dude in front of me goes in, and I'm standing there waiting to use the stalls. Two guys come up behind me, and then they're the nice guys who basically let everybody know, everybody who comes into the bathroom, they're the ones who let them know, hey, if you got to use a pisser, the pissers are available. And that's exactly the word he uses, by the way.
Pissers? Awesome.
The pissers.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah, the pissers are available, y'all. Anyway.
Wow.
So finally somebody else comes out and of a stall. I go in. I do what I need to do. I hear some TikTok videos or something going on from another stall, whatever. I do what I need to do. I come out, and those poor two guys are still waiting for one of the other five stalls to open up. And I just look at one of them, and I kind of like shake my head, like, people, get off your phones, do your stuff. You're about to, you know, you can go do that stuff in the gate. You can go watch TikTok videos while you're sitting in the gate or on the plane or something.
Yeah, big push and get off. Get out. Go get exactly. In. Go get out.
Evacuate.
Yeah.
And then evacuate.
Right. I'm sure there's some exceptions where somebody's got a problem or whatever.
Well, sure.
I'm sure that happens. But for the most part, y'all are just sitting there wasting time. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
While exactly. Other people are, like Brian says, prairie dogging. Okay.
Yeah. There's guys behind me, guys who were behind me who are waiting. And it's like, oh, man, you know. I know that feeling. I know that feeling of being stuck and you're just like sitting there waiting and you're waiting. And it's bad enough you have to just sit there and stand in a public restroom, just looking around like, yep, gotta go to the bathroom. You all know what I'm waiting to do, you know?
Just run in there and go, I'm crowning, and see if somebody responds, you know?
Yeah.
Finally.
I would, you know, wanted to do a George Costanza and just say, you know, we live in a society here. People waiting for the stalls.
You know, I realized that was the episode. We just watched that episode again. And Jerry claims he has a sister in that episode. And we've never.
Oh, really?
Never, ever seen a sister in that series.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And George does this, too, in an early episode where he has a brother. And we never see a brother. And they never bring it up again. They're completely like chicks in the bucket. They never show up again.
That's funny. You never see any. Do you ever see any siblings from the main four?
No. In fact, the closest you get is Elaine's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the obviously, bathroom. That guy.
Jerry's parents, George's parents.
Yeah, the parents. You get parents. And I feel like the rest of the series is just sort of assumed they're only childs.
I think so, yeah. And Kramer's mom, you get right because the episode where it's revealed that his first name is Cosmo. I think you see.
I think maybe they were onto something by never going back to those ideas because there is a simplicity to it, right? You complicate the relationships when you introduce somebody who is closely related that isn't a parent because that's generational, but a sibling is like, I don't know, complicate your story. So it's the right thing to do, but it's just weird that they bring it up and then they never talk about it again.
Plus, it also helps enforce the fact that they're selfish a-holes because we all know that only children, speaking from experience, only children are selfish a-holes.
As you can tell.
It just kind of goes with the
Brian, the most selfish a-hole I know, just the worst.
That's right.
Know?
And they're, the trial, which basically, just says, look, these four people don't, they're only children. They don't have brothers or sisters. They're selfish a-holes.
Yeah, they're the worst. And so now let's have every guest star we've ever had come up on the stand and testify. last night was fun because, we had a soccer game. So we went to see Van's soccer game. It was very hot last night, yesterday. It's a super hot day and no clouds. And that sucks. I don't like that for soccer. But whatever. We're sitting in our dumb little chairs and watching Van play. And I want to give some credit to somebody in the chat. This is from... I put that under news. I'll save it for that because there's this great term that somebody, one of our listeners, coined for the kind of soccer that Van is playing at this age.
Oh yeah, I love that.
It's pretty great.
I saw that intro. I was like, oh, that is that. I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, we'll get to that later. But it's he was dead on. But anyway, that was fun. It's always fun rooting for him. And Taylor was in charge of treats, and it's just a dumb tradition. Whatever, you just do it. So we're doing that, but we knew we had to leave it around 6:15 because Eric Van Skyhawk was in town to see his parents, and he was born and raised here, but he lives in just outside of New York and works in Manhattan, and was here to visit. So he's like, hey, you want to go hang out? And we're like, yeah, we'll figure out a time, let's do dinner. So we did dinner at this Peruvian place. So we went there. And it was great. They did it's really healthy, like good chicken stuff and salads and avocado dishes.
Grilled,
and all this sort of thing. It was very, very good. But there's hardly anybody there, which is weird. But anyway, we were hanging out and we were talking about music. And I was telling him about how whenever this happens, everybody in the chat goes nuts and starts typing TMS over
typing
and over.
Typing the letters,
He's never been to a live show, so he didn't know his music was inspiring this meme, this thing. So that was just a fun thing, and I wanted to let Tadpool and chat room in particular know about it. He really liked hearing that. I think I talked him into working on not a remix, but like a new arrangement.
Oh, cool!
So we'll hear soon on that. I think maybe. And also, we decided that we're all very old while we were there.
Yeah,
because we took this photo. I need to share this. I'll put it in your thing as well. This I hate this photo because for two reasons. I think I look like his grandfather, and he wait, why didn't it move? Oh, there it is. Oh, this isn't, the weird, I understand why the motion photos matter to people, but the format it makes so you can't share it around freaking pisses me off.
It is a pain in the butt. Yeah, it's nice, and I wish there was a button, just one button you had to press, not any sort of conversion process or anything.
Yeah.
Give me one button where I can turn it into a GIF if I wanted to.
Exactly. Make it simple. But anyway, there's Eric and there's me. And I look like I smell something bad.
You look like I don't understand how these things work.
Yeah, it's horrendous. It's a horrible photo. Yeah. It's the wrong angle. I look like a thumb. I've never looked, my hair has never looked whiter, which is funny because you look at me in here, I don't look that white.
It's like more blonde when we look at it on camera here. But boy, right there, it looks like.
I look like the snowman that came from the north. It's just horrible. And then Eric over here, just looking. Looking a little salty. He's about our age. He's our age.
Yeah. A lot more a lot more salt in that salt and pepper. And but he looks great.
Eric looks great. We both looked fine, this shock of like, oh my gosh, what are we even looking at here? Who are these two people? Right. It didn't look familiar to us. And I think that's what threw me. So whatever, selfie cameras are they're dicks.
They're like borderline DMV cameras in their
totally. But he wanted to say he wanted me to send his hello to everybody, and it's been a while since he's been in the thing, and I told him how much we love this thing right here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, except for Stephanie, she hates it. She's probably
It's basically her. She actually just checked out as soon as you started playing that. She said, "I'm out."
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah, Matt. It's like, funny enough, it's like Kramer when he hears Mary Hart's voice just freaks out and falls over. But anyway, it was really fun and good to see them. If they're here, if they hear this, hope they had a safe flight back to New York. They had their boys with them. You know, their youngest, AJ, who's now 17, is about to graduate next year. Mm-hmm. Mm. Some kind of little genius boy.
Really?
Like, he's having some of the most intelligent conversation I've ever had with a kid while playing this ultra hard rhythm game on his phone that looks like he's magically somehow, you know, when you see somebody do Guitar Hero at the most extreme level and you're like, I don't know how on earth that person did that.
Yeah.
He's doing that while going, yes, I believe I'm going to go to college for some. He's like this little genius kid.
Wow.
Really, really impressive. Anyway, it's fun to see them, and they had a good time while they were here.
Very cool.
I meant to ask you yesterday about your, because when you texted me, you texted me from the plane and said there was some medical emergency or something, and I was worried.
You had mentioned, hey, a little, you know, format change tomorrow, blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh yeah, cool. By the way, this is the first time I've ever been on a flight where this has happened, and you know, because it happens so often in movies, you feel like it should happen more in real life than it does. But it's a nighttime flight, so what they do is once they get everybody on board, they do their spiel about how to make a seatbelt work, and then they, you know, they let you know we're gonna take off here, and we're gonna dim the cabin lights. So if you need a little extra light, then you've got the little light button up above you. Blah blah blah.
Sure.
And so everything kind of turns off, and that's when I hit play on the movie I'm watching. And about 5 minutes into it, the lights come back on, and there are two flight attendants in the middle of the plane, and one way up at the very front where the PA system is. And she gets on the PA and says, ladies and gentlemen, is there a doctor on this flight? If there is a doctor, please turn on your call button. Please ring your call button for us. Let us know if there is a doctor on this flight.
She very calm. She sounded very calm about it. Very,
very calm about it.
Yeah. That's what you're
like. Oh man! So of course, you know, everybody is doing that thing, you know, where they're like the cubicle. Everybody peers over the tops of their cubicles to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Could not tell what was going on. However, they brought up the field kit and they were checking vitals and stuff like a stethoscope and stuff like that. But the flight attendants were talking to the person in the seat and kind of laughing as they were talking to him. Like, basically, you know, we could tell that it wasn't there. It was urgent, but not life threatening.
Yeah. They weren't like serious. Out or having like full cardiac arrest or something.
Exactly. Yeah,
That's good. Did you feel, did you have any temptation to raise your hand and go, my dad's a doctor?
I can get him on the phone if we need it.
He taught me CPR one time.
I actually did have that thought. Like, you know, if they start going down the line, right? Okay, no doctors. Are there any PAs on the flight? Are there any are pharmacists on the plane? Are there any?
Yeah, we're down to nurses, and then eventually it's like family of medical professionals.
Right. Eventually it's family, and then it goes to, is there anybody who kind of claimed to have a medical degree on Facebook in the last 3 years? As an enterologist or as an epidemiologist or something.
Yeah, that's great. So they were fine, though, as far as you know? It all ended and lights went out?
Yeah, all ended just fine. They did what they did. A doctor did ring their call button, got up there with them for a little bit, and was kind of, you know, talking to the person in the seat. I couldn't even tell. I wasn't even 100% sure if it was which person in the row of three it was that needed medical attention. That's how non-serious it was. Like, you know, they weren't hovering, like standing over somebody doing all this stuff. I could just see them kind of getting the field kit stuff out. Mm. And
every plane has a load of that on the plane, right? They carry that. I mean, they have to.
Oh yeah. They have to have enough, enough equipment to do some kind of rudimentary.
Yeah, if Mexican stuff. If those Mexican restaurants have the chest plate things, the like what are they called, defibrillators? If they have those, then I bet a plane has them at least. I would think.
I bet they do. Yeah. Yeah,
clear, I mean, clear, seen, boom, like that.
Haven't we seen that in some movie? I mean, I know it's, again, it's a movie, not real. I'm sure, like, every plane over a certain class has defibrillators on board.
Well, we've had this exact thing happen to us, but they didn't ask for doctors. They just started pulling out a kit and doing vitals on somebody without the question. Maybe they, I don't know how they would know, but maybe the manifest somehow
tells maybe. You.
I don't know.
Just then, look down the line. Oh, Dr. Penelope Johnson. Okay.
Maybe they already knew they had a doctor. That was probably it. Is that maybe they didn't? Yeah, maybe they just knew names, somebody was on there or whatever.
Right.
Somebody
right.
goes by Dr. Wilson or something.
Right. Exactly. Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm a DJ.
Yeah. I'm a DJ.
I just use doctor ironically. Yeah, I'm not an actual doctor.
This is my rap stage name. Sorry.
That's right. Exactly. I'm Dr. Beat. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to help you with your
I can drop some sick lyrics, but that's it. That's
right,
all I can
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad nobody was like in a big trouble. That would be bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody wants to be there when somebody dies on a plane.
No, for sure.
I know this has happened. There've been people, I think in our audience, who've written in before about this thing where somebody died on their plane and they had to stop somewhere to, I don't think you can go the full flight, especially if it's a long, like, international one. If you're close to, like, I don't know, on the West Coast, Alaska, you're just like, well, we're going to Anchorage to.
Right. That's where Tina and I were both worried about that. You know, said, oh man, I hope we don't get diverted. And then we both saw them, you know, kind of like being more positive with the person up there. I'm like, okay, yeah whatever.
You're getting some laughs out of him. You're in pretty good shape. That's good.
One thing I also forgot to talk about yesterday, a couple things. First off, while we were in Asheville, we were right across the street from a newspaper that I visited in the late 90s called the Asheville Citizen Times.
Oh, nice.
And that newspaper is, while it's still being produced, it's not being produced in that building anymore. It's actually being produced in Greenville, South Carolina. At the location of a sister paper, and they just kind of ship it up in the mornings and then deliver it to the 20,000 people who still get the newspaper in Asheville.
That's a low number. Is that a low number? Like if you're to, I don't know what circulation looks like these days.
It feels like a high number, but it's, you know, it's people who say, no, I don't care about getting news, right away from the internet. I'd like to know what happened yesterday, please. Inside that building now is a record producer who's bought like the whole first floor and added a bar, a cafe, and a vinyl pressing plant called Citizen Vinyl.
What?
That's cool. And so we went in there, we saw something called Citizen Vinyl. I'm like, oh, guys, do you mind if we go across there and see if there's a record store in there? I won't buy anything because I don't have any place to put it. And Chuck and Amy are so nice. They're like, Brian, we can ship. If you buy something, we can ship it to you. It's totally fine. I'm like, oh, whatever. Let's just go in there. So we go in there, and yeah, in addition to a vinyl record store, on the left side, they've got this clear, like this window that goes into this whole area that's like them pressing vinyl albums. You can sit there and watch them. Mm. And I look down, and it's like, oh, free tour starting in 30 minutes.
Oh.
So it's like, great. Let's do this. And we, you know, we find the tour guide, say, hey, we know you only have two spots left. Is there any way we can do four? Our friends are visiting from Denver. And she's like, oh, Denver. Oh, I'll totally do it because Denver comes up in my tour spiel in what I talk about. So
really?
I can kind of point to you. I'm like, great. Awesome. So we took this 1 hour tour, went up to the recording studios, saw the recording studios where old performers like Jimmy Dorsey and big band, you know, used to perform up there, play on the radio.
Ooh,
and et cetera, et cetera. And then watch them press a dozen Dr. John albums, like brand new.
Can you tell me this? Vinyl. Do they come in does the record that you eventually press, is it come in like a predefined like ball? And then that gets mushed? A puck.
Yeah. So okay. they basically got this hopper that they put all these little vinyl pellets in of the color of the album you want to create. So right. whether it's clear, green, or red, or whatever, these were just plain old black vinyl albums. Mm. All these pellets go in a hopper. They're heated up to 300 something degrees. And this machine extrudes it into about the size of a hockey puck.
Wow.
And somebody pulls it out with their gloved hand. They put it on the plates. And, of course, the plates are the two metal plates made from the acetate masters of the album. Mm-hmm. So they've got the imprint of the grooves and all that stuff.
Right.
This thing comes down, squeezes the that puck. Oh, before they do that, and this one's kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
Before they even put the puck on there, they take the B-side record label, put it face down on the thing, then put the puck, and then put the face up, or the side one record label on top of it. So
Is the puck exactly the size of the label so that your pinhole?
Pretty close, yeah.
Because they have the pinhole, hole right?
Yeah. Yep, they have the pinhole in that. And that centers the labels on the pinhole.
Wow.
I always thought that the record labels probably got added afterwards by a machine that the records went through. Shoo-shoom, shoo-shoom, shoo-shoom,
I assume so, too. I would think it would. Yeah. I mean, obviously, this is a little bit more of a boutique operation, which is kind of rad.
This is standard.
This is how it's done, just period. This is how they do it.
These guys have printed up albums for like Foo Fighters and try to remember all the musicians that they ran off the list of, like, oh yeah, we've done 24,000 album runs for so and so and this person, this other person.
That's cool.
And and so we watch them, and so like it presses it down kind of like a little waffle press. And there's all that little extra goo on the outside of the record.
Yeah.
They pick up that record, put it on another thing that's like, it looks like a turntable with a knife on one side. The thing goes around a couple times, clears off that excess on the outside.
Yeah.
Guy picks it up, looks at it, puts it on a stack of other Dr. John albums.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. I don't know how I thought these were done. I assumed it was way more automated than a dude walking
around.
Had
they have two automatic machines and then one manual machine. Mm. And for large runs, they'll use all three machines all at once. But I'm guessing it's expensive for the artist to have multiple plates made, so they probably have a smaller run and just say, all right, here's one set of plates.
Yeah.
Give me just 1,000 album run.
That's really cool. But the fact that they've got a cafe in there and like food and a bar.
Yeah, we sat there. We had some coffee and some pastries.
That's awesome.
It was very, very nice. Yeah. And it's a free tour. So if you go to Asheville, totally worth it to do this one-hour tour. Another tour in Asheville that I highly recommend is one that I think September found. And it's the Lazoom Comedy Horror Bus Tour. And now Tina, as I mentioned, as we know, maybe mentioned on the show before, Tina is big on the what's the scariest thing in this town, or what's the creepiest part of town? And she wants to go, walk through graveyards. We walked through the graveyard in Savannah. It was really cool. Mm. And she wants to see the houses that are supposedly haunted and have ghosts and have had a dozen murders and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so this bus tour was September found, and it was high on the comedy. We talked about this guy. You saw a photo of the guy with the black.
Oh, the black under eye guy yesterday that we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what we didn't talk about, though, was all the weird references that came up during the drive. So, we're sitting there, the tour is starting, and the woman who I talked about yesterday, who did all the different actor roles and came out and hi everybody, I'm crazy Zelda Fitzgerald, and I'm drunk, and that's how I died from this and the consumption and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And but she kind of also did the warm up to introduce Mr. Bones, and she's like, looks at the guy sitting in front of me, who was not part of the TMS group. We had pretty much most of the bus, except for like four poor people who got stuck on here.
Yeah, sure.
And she looks at him and says, sir, have you ever heard of a phrase called commit to the bit?
Whoa.
And the, like the rest of us, the 14 TMS people are like, oh, that was Rob in front of. Oh, it was right. Yeah. You and Rob were in front of us. That's right. She says, have you heard the phrase commit to the bit? And the rest of us are like, what the hell? How does, you know, how does she
know? It's a little too familiar
on this.
Yeah. That's weird.
And, she goes and unbuttons one of Rob's, the second button on Rob's, shirt and says, come on, commit to the bit. And the rest are like, oh, wow, funny. And then as we're going along in the tour, Mr. Bones does this thing where he's like, and then this was back in the Civil War days, and he starts playing the exact Dear Martha music.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
yeah.
not just another sound alike. And
this
we all go,
right here.
Oh! Yep.
This actual music? Wow.
Exactly that one. That's and great. We all go, oh! And he's like, oh, good. I see we have some Ken Burns fans in the house.
Like, little do they know. Little
yeah,
do they know.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, I guess so. I think there was a third weird connection reference, and I can't remember what it was, but there was some third thing that made us all go like, did Scott call ahead and tell these guys?
It does feel like somebody's messing with you, but I didn't do that. I wonder if, so the thing Jenny says, maybe she got that from, maybe that's a more common phrase than
it's a more common phrase. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, yeah, Jenny didn't invent that phrase, but she put it into all of our heads and rightly so, because it needs to be followed, adhered to, and trusted by anyone who does any sort of
anything.
Podcast presentation.
Yeah, I think you do anything in life, you got to commit.
Yeah.
Commit to that bit. You know? That's great.
Yeah, Natalie or September, I don't see Red Fraglin here. Do you guys remember what the other reference was? It seemed like there was a third reference that we're all like, God, how is this... person?
Yeah, because one thing you're like, oh, wow, one thing. That's that's
right,
a coincidence.
Exactly.
Second one's like, wait a minute. Third one's like, exactly. Okay, who's we're getting trolled.
Something is paranormal here. Something's going on because you don't get this.
This is happening to where what we do in the dungeon, or where, sorry, what we do in the dungeons.
What we do in the dungeons.
What's wrong with me?
There will be
dinosaurs. Well, there will be dungeons. We have about five or six things that have shown up in Baldur's Gate 3 that are, we swear to you, 100% feel like they've been pulled from our campaign.
Yeah,
and
really.
Like, my character had a dragon heart. I've never seen that in any kind of D&D module.
Yeah.
There's a character with this heart. There's a whole bunch of other references, and it's weirding us the F out. Also, we found out a bunch of voice actors on the game listen to Core. We didn't know that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So we're starting to, like, it's scratching our head. So it's like, that's what you're telling me sounds about right for my week. It feels like there's just, like, some weird connections going on, and it may be all coincidence, but it sure feels weird. Anyway, well, let's see what they say. Hey, I got a story for you. Do you remember back in the day, we heard the story when we were kids that Magnum PI, aka
Tom Selleck
was supposed to be Indiana Jones. He was offered the job and then didn't take the job because something to do with Magnum PI. And I'd heard that story a bunch of times. I was like, oh, that's weird. That would have been weird if Harrison Ford wasn't that character. But I never really put a lot of credence to it because I just thought it was an apocryphal story that nerds would tell each other about their favorite movie, and it was just no big deal. Well, I found this audio of Tom Selleck talking about this very thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's super interesting and also made me really like the guy. So anyway, here it is. I'll just play it for everybody. Check it out.
I tested for Indiana Jones and got the job. Steven and George, my newest pals at the time, offered me the job, and I said, well, I've done this pilot. And they said, well, thanks for telling us. Most actors wouldn't do that, but we got cards to play with CBS. And turned out CBS wouldn't let me do it. They held the offer out for about a month. Harrison Ford hates to hear this. And Harrison, this is your role, and you're indelible in it. So it's just an interesting story. But yeah, I mean, look, I signed a deal for Magnum. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm proud that I lived up to my contract. Some people said, you got to get in the car and drive into a brick wall and get injured and get out of Magnum and do this. And I said, I got to look my mom and dad in the eye, and we don't do that. So I did Magnum. It's not so bad, is it?
I think that is such a great telling of that story.
It is,
for
yeah.
for a bunch of reasons. One, he gives Harrison Ford the credit that's due him, and does it in a very graceful way. And at the same time, you know, he's acknowledging that it was a major thing that he missed doing because of this contract. But I also like the integrity of it all. Well, I'm going to fulfill the thing I committed to. So I'll do it.
He seems like that kind of guy, right? Like the kind of guy that the characters that he plays share. You know, human qualities. Is just a decent dude.
Yeah, decent, good man. And the thing is, people say, oh, that movie would have been so different. I don't know. I think he might have been fine.
Yeah.
He might have been great, in fact. And
Alamo Drafthouse, and I'm sure it's on YouTube as well, Alamo Drafthouse showed test footage. When we saw Dial of Destiny at Drafthouse the 30 minutes before, one of the things they showed was Tom Selleck doing a test footage or test video of the character, and I can't remember if it was Karen Allen. I think it might have still been Karen Allen that he was,
or at least
doing
somebody like somebody who was also trying out to be her or stood in for her.
I
or something.
I think so. Yeah. And I was like, oh wow, that's cool. But now I feel like this could be, you know, we're not far from somebody saying, oh yeah, I've used AI to do the entirety of Raiders of the Lost Ark and replace Harrison Ford with Tom Selleck.
It might already exist, honestly.
It might already exist.
Or at least a scene. Somebody's taken a scene and swapped voice. I've already seen this with other stuff, so I know they can do it.
They can do it, yeah. So we have the technology now to do it, but has anybody taken the time to do it? I'd be interested to see. Or maybe I wouldn't be interested to see. But
oh, here it is. Tom Selleck, Indiana Jones deepfake. Oh, weird. Really? Yeah. Brian, you got to see this.
Okay. All right, put it
in. Send you this. This is just a scene like I figured they would only do. But it's him fighting the sword guy in Raiders.
Okay.
And it's freaky real looking. Oh, my gosh. All right, okay. So, Chad, I'm going to show you this. I'm probably going to not record it, though. So, for later YouTube people.
Not.
So, I'm going to pause that. All right. So, here you go, Chad. You can see it. I'll put a little audio to it as well. Here we go.
That looks great.
Let's see. Yeah, look at that.
Oh, and it's even like young
Harrison Ford shot to start.
Oh, there's like all audio and stuff. But look at him.
Yeah.
It kind of works.
It does kind of work. They did a good job with this. Jeez.
Yeah, it's freaky. Yeah. I'd watch the whole thing to see how it turned out.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, just to be just curious about
it. Oh, they even do Bring back the stone. Although that scene they didn't replace, they still have the side of Harrison Ford's face when he talks to the dudes.
You can see it, though. You could see it. Yeah. I'm just saying it's easy to say, oh, that'd be so different. It's because you don't know any better. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is all you had ever seen, you wouldn't even think about it. You would go, you'd hear, oh, Harrison Ford almost got the job. Han Solo? Well, I can't even picture that. I mean, you would have the same problem. That's the way our brains work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think there would be a level. I love Tom Selleck, don't get me wrong, but after seeing King Solomon's Mines, right?
Mm.
Am I thinking of the right thing?
With him? He wasn't in that. That was
not King Solomon. What was the one he did that was like Indiana Jones that was
Quigley Down Under? Was that it?
Quigley Down Under. That's what I'm thinking of. Yes.
Yeah.
After seeing that, there's a level of camp that I think he would have instilled in Indiana Jones that we didn't want. We didn't want that.
Yeah. And he even says, like right here, where is it?
We'll wish it. Richard Chamberlain was the...
Where is the
Who was it?
Yeah, it was Richard Chamberlain. You're right.
Richard Chamberlain, yeah.
Here we go.
Tested for let me do it.
Hold on.
Harrison, this is your role and you're indelible in it. So it's just an interesting story.
Yes. I mean, that's the truth of it. Like,
the
end result is... He is our Indiana Jones. It's worked out for the best for everybody, and he's even saying that.
Yeah.
But I like Tom Selleck.
Oh, I do too. I think, I think there had been a little bit of a different. It definitely would have been a different thing, and I'm glad we got the thing that we got.
Yeah, how's we that? Got what we got, and we get what we get. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to now do some news.
Yeah, we should totally do that. We've taken enough of your damn time.
Here's how I know. Because this played. Ooh, weird. Perfect timing. It's the news, and it's brought to you by
brought to you by I love this the Draper City Swarm Ball League.
That's right. So that's the Draper City is the little kid four year old soccer league that Van's in. And Swarm Ball was coined by listener and pal of the show, Michael Miller, a.k.a. Joe Uncool on Twitter, /X.com. Anyway, he's the one that coined it yesterday. He says, the tradition of watching youth soccer, which at this age is more properly called Swarm Ball. And he is so correct. All they do is just swarm around this ball like it's a nucleus to a larger proton. Yes. Or something. And they're all just like swarming around it. No one really scores anything. It's just ridiculous and stupid. But anyway, love that. So we decided to use it today. So thanks for that. Speaking of kids, at least two children have suffered injuries after going down slides covered in bear spray. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't put bear spray on your slides, you idiots. This is
the stuff that repel, it's like mace for bears, right? Like, it's the stuff you spray at a bear to get them to...
It's that or it's the stuff to keep them away in general. Like something you'd spray, like say you have a campsite and you spray your, you got a cooler full of food.
Yeah.
You'd spray the cooler and it puts them off.
I think it's the there's a bear, spray it.
Oh, is it that stuff?
Yeah.
They don't get into it. They just call it spray in here. So who knows what they're doing, but you're probably right.
Yeah.
The city has closed off two large slides located at the playground in Twin Lakes Park after at least two kids suffered injuries after going down the slide, believed to be vandalized and covered in bear spray. So it wasn't even an official application of the spray. Some kids did it.
It was, somebody did it on purpose. Oh, whoever this person is really needs to be
little bastards. Dude.
Pinned down to a chair and have... a little bit of bear spray sprayed at them.
Just a little bit. Just a little.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just the really stinky, make your eyes burn a little bit kind of,
Of spray. Yeah, I know. Maybe eye for an eye is not appropriate.
You just want to scare them. That's all. And I get that.
I do. You know what? Yeah. Hold the spray in front and then go with your mouth. And then watch him go,
watch him flinch.
See? Yeah.
Yep. We're only trying to do psychological damage here, people. All right?
Right. Exactly. Just psychological damage. It's totally fine. Not physical damage.
According to Michelle Elfers, great name. Or Elfers, sorry. It's Elfers. Mm-hmm. Mother Elfers.
Elfers.
Deputy Director of the City and Borough of Juneau Parks and Recreation Department.
Or Juneau. Yeah.
Juneau? Did I say? Oh, I guess it's not like Juneau, Alaska, though. It's a different kind of Juneau. Anyway,
is this not Juneau, Alaska? Where is this?
I don't know.
Twin Lakes Park. I assumed when I saw Juneau in there that this is.
It's definitely spelled
Juneau,
wrong,
Juneau, Alaska.
Because they're even their website's spelled wrong. Because Juneau, Alaska is J-U-N-O, isn't it?
No, it's J-U-N-E-A-U.
It is.
Like this. Yeah, it's not spelled like the Roman Jupiter.
Hold on, I'm having a serious, serious.
Let's hold brain while fart. Scott Googles to make sure.
No, I'm not saying you're lying. I think I'm going crazy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I am going crazy. Hold on a second. Is this for real? I was just in Alaska and saw signs. I swear. Has my brain translated this to say Juneau when I see it? Am I thinking possibly? Of the email app when we were in like our 20s? Remember Juneau?
I wonder if you're thinking of the Canadian Awards, the Juneau Awards.
Shit. That is one of the most hardcore Mandela things I've ever had.
Apparently so, yeah. You know what coincidentally, the most popular food item though in Juneau is carbonated meat.
That one I'm still standing by until I get proof it doesn't exist.
I need those proof. Heels are planted. Yes.
I need proof, damn it. The funny thing is I'm the one that should be required to bring the proof and I can't find any, but someone somewhere needs to find me some carbonated meat. I know it exists.
We have an idea. We talked about it at the Tadpool meetup. We have
what's
idea
the theory?
How to make you some carbonated meat.
What's that? No, you're going to make
it
and
make
try
it for you.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah. Who's doing this? Who's in charge? Do you know?
I can't remember Amy or September brought it up, but we have a recipe that we're going to talk to Kim about making for you.
All right. I'll try it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This blows my mind, so I'm really freaked out. All right, so they're in Alaska. Is that spelled the way I think it is? Man.
It's, yeah, and that's spelled A-L-A-S-K-A.
What? I thought it was... Well, anyway, according to these people, somebody did that, and that's mean, and don't do that. Okay?
Yeah.
These kids get hurt. Yeah. They slide really hard. And they had to go, oh, there's some kid had just a reaction to it. Didn't even have a...
Oh, I'm sure.
The slippy.
I mean, it's pepper spray, basically, is what it is, so...
Yeah, you're trying.
Oh, and they found the empty can in the trash can near the park.
Great.
So maybe they can hopefully... Oh, look at the... Do you see who the lieutenant's name? The Juneau Police Department lieutenant?
Craig Campbell.
Craig, K-R-A-G.
Somebody get Craig Campbell on the case.
We have a news story with a Star Trek connection today. Is
yeah.
Craig Campbell.
The Campbell part's
head
a little
the,
weird for aliens.
the Klingons.
Yeah. And Juno looks alien to me, so it's perfect. We nailed it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I cannot believe that. I'm sort of shaken from it. I swore for my whole life, J-U-N-O. I'm picturing episodes of Northern Exposure where they spell it that way.
Really?
I'm sure they didn't, but I have it in my head that they
did. You
have
it in your head that, yeah, gotcha.
Man, I think that Juno email in the 90s ruined me because that was spelled with it. I think that might have been it for real.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, moving on. A bunch of you submitted this, so thanks to everyone who did.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
A live worm found in an Australian woman's brain. It's the first time.
That's not a worm.
First time ever, by the way. This is a world first discovery. It was a fairly regular day on the ward of the Canberra Hospital infectious disease physician, Dr. Sanjaya San. Hold on. Senanayake. Senanayake. Something. Until a neurosurgeon colleague called him and said, OMG, you wouldn't believe what I found in this lady's brain. It's alive and wriggling. Anyway, they pulled out a
Simple Minds song. Alive and wriggling. Something in my brain.
There you go. So it's like we're pulling... That musical era has coming up on the show a lot today.
It has. Yeah, it totally has.
8-centimeter long parasite roundworm from her brain. They weren't quite sure what to do. A 64-year-old woman from southeastern New South Wales was admitted to a local hospital in late January, suffering 3 weeks of abdominal pain and diarrhea. Oh, what do you got there? Is that the length?
That's 8 centimeters right there.
Shit. Yeah.
Like a little shorter than a cigarette.
I don't like it, Brian. No, I don't. Do you want to have that in your brain? No, you don't.
I don't want to have that. I don't want to have it any size in my brain. Like a 1-centimeter live wriggling worm in my brain would not be good.
She also had constant dry cough, fever, and night sweats, all from this thing. By the year 2022, her symptoms also included forgetfulness and depression, prompting a referral to the hospital she was in. The MRI scan of her brain revealed abnormalities requiring surgery, but they didn't see the worm in that process. So they went in there, did the operation. Here's the quote. The neurosurgeons certainly didn't go in there thinking they would find a wriggling worm. Mm-hmm. Just picture Rob Riggle. Isn't that weird? Just a little face on there.
That's great. Now I am too.
Yes.
Thanks.
It's impossible not to. Neurosurgeons regularly.
Face?
That's the face.
That's the face.
I love that guy.
I do too.
They say they regularly deal with infections of the brain, but this was once in a career finding. No one was expecting to find that. She's going to be okay. They got it out, but they don't know how it got in there. I read later in the article. Mm-hmm. They don't know what gets a worm into your head like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just
snorting. What did you snort cause that to happen?
No kidding. Also, another parallel to Baldur's Gate 3. Anyone who's playing it knows that the whole point of that game is you and all your companions have a parasite in your eye, a wriggling worm that was put in your eye by nefarious means. I don't want to give too much away.
You're going to make me buy this thing, aren't you, Scott?
I mean, look, do you like really long, involved, potentially hundreds of hours RPGs? Do you like those?
I mean, how many hours do I think I'm in Hyrule with this Zelda game? Yeah, probably not hundreds of hours. But,
wouldn't call it an RPG though. Like games where it's like tons of dialogue trees, lots of decision making, turn based combat. Yeah. If you like that stuff, you'll love this game.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you know,
I do, and maybe but okay. I think it looks like something I can wait on then. The
PS5 version comes out next week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
6th, I think. So that might be when to grab it. Mm.
Okay.
I played
okay.
with controller quite a bit because I play it on the Steam Deck as well, and it's great on controller. Works good. Mm, it's a really amazing game.
Because you're choosing your path. Like you're saying, oh, I'm going to play this. I'm going to use this spell, or I'm going to choose this thing that I'm going to say to the person that we just came across.
Yeah, and you are literally playing D&D. Like it's dice rolls. It's you know, a lot of stuff happens in the background, like when you're doing like perception dice rolls. Those are just happening as you're moving around the world. But when you are in a situation where you need to convince something of something, you might have to do a persuasion roll, and it'll roll a d20. You literally click in that d20, making it do its thing. You have maybe bonus rolls you can add to it. Add a d4 from what's her name, who can give you helping or not helping hand. What is it? It's whatever it is. But anyway, it's definitely it's like fifth edition rules D&D. The video game, really.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Best reviewed game in history, I think. It beat Tears of the Kingdom this year. Tears of the Kingdom broke the record, and then this came along and broke that. But they're totally different games. Like, Tears of the Kingdom is very action-y and, you know, all that. Moving on to... Oh, you know what? Moving on to take a break. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, let's move on to break.
Let's go to break. When we come back from break, we will have our old pal, Bill here. Bill Duran will join us. We're going to talk about making stuff. Brian's got a little maker thing he wants to talk to us about as well, right? Did you bring that with you? Is it in the other room?
I did. I have one right there. I can grab it.
Awesome.
I can show it on the stream.
Looking forward to that. Hey, Brian, before we do that, though, can you play a little song or something?
Yes, I can. We're going to look at the an LA power pop new wave band. That's right. Listen to this. Called Uniboys. UNIBOYS. Two words. Produced by Michael and Brian D'Addario of the D'Addario of the Lemon Twigs. And it's going to be released in October, the middle of October, on Curation Records. So you got a little bit of time to wait for the full album. That's all right. You're going to want to play this over and over and over again. It is the lead-off single to the brand new album. It is called... Oh, the new album is called Buy This Now. Perfect.
Nice.
The single is called 2 Years. Here are the Uniboys.
From love's grip, endlessly, your face again. 2 years away from you, and now there's nothing I can do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From our experiences with many people, we have tried to bring out misconceptions and facts not well understood and tried to explain them on a scientific basis.
Next up, the Johnsons. When their water line broke, they paid over $2,600.
Oh. And we're back. Hey, I wrote down the name, but I'd like you to tell everyone else who this was.
I'll tell you how to pronounce it because I know you wrote it down, but you're not sure you got it.
I probably spelled it wrong. I guess I can almost guarantee that.
This is a band called the Uni Boys, UNIBOYS, and a brand new single called 2 Years. This comes from their upcoming album, Buy This Now, which comes out in the middle of October.
Nice. I have a prediction. We're going to hear from people who live in Juneau who are going to tell us that this happens all the time.
I bet easily. You're definitely not the only person who
I'm going to feel better about it when they do, though. I'm going to feel better because right now I feel like an idiot my whole life.
That Elliot Page movie probably swayed a lot of people into thinking that's how you pronounce it.
That's another one. That's exactly right. I think I took the pop culture presentations of the name Juneau and twisted it and just it stayed there. And even when I'm in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm seeing signs, it's not clicking with me. So weird.
You're like, look at that weird, funny French spelling of Juneau. That's funny. They should fix that.
So effed up. All right. Bill Duran time. You know him. You know what's up.
I do know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good dude. We're going to add him and add him to the group here.
He's a good dude.
Goodest of dudes, really. Of all the dudes, he's one of the good ones.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Hey, look who it is. It's Bill Duran joining us, as he does quite often here on the show on a Tuesday to talk about the world of makers and making things. And he hails, of course, from the Seattle area, from a little company called PunishProps.com. Bill, it's good to have you back.
Good morning.
Are you You're in full Dragon Con mode, right? I assume.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
You better believe it. In fact, I need to make something from scratch today.
Oh. Do you really? Like, is this the... Oh, we need something for cosplay for Thursday. I guess let's make an entire Stormtrooper.
Yeah, you got to do the whole thing. But you probably have a plan. I know you well enough to know you got ideas, right?
I have a plan, and I have a laser cutter.
Whoa. So. Cool.
Those are the only two things you need.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm set.
That's awesome. Well, tell us what's going on. It's been a while. We want to be inspired by whatever the heck you're working on. Oh, before we do that, Brian, you had something you wanted to show off, and then
about. Well, Bill did a great job of showing this off on Twitter yesterday. But this is the filaminder.
Filaminder.
I came up with a damn name, and I should be able to remember it. I just wanted a name for it, so I'm like, filaminder. But this is a spring-loaded filament holder that you put inside your filament roll to keep the filament from getting pulled out. And the whole reason I did this, and this is a great, a great thing that I learned from Bill, is that most things like this come from the necessity of, well, I don't like putting the extra filament through the holes on the side because they often break and then things get tangled up, or making those little three clips that you print on the side. Those are great until you put your filament into a shelf where you've got other pieces of filament, and that clip just gets popped off because it rubs against the side of another roll of filament. So I wanted something completely self-contained within the walls of the filament roll.
That's awesome.
So I put it up on my site, Coverville 3D. You can coverville3d.com/shop. You can buy the STL. I made it dumb cheap just to make sure, if you had any thought that you're going to want to print this thing at some point, it's $1.50. It's like cheap, and there's two versions, one for resin printers, one for filament printers, or hell, I'll print them for you. Made it super cheap too. I'll do 8 of these for you for like $15 with the magnets and all that stuff.
Nice. So, very cool.
Sales pitch over.
Yeah, I like it. And also, I just like the practicality of it. I think that's really great.
Yeah,
which is the whole point, I guess. Yeah.
So I printed one yesterday, and even though I printed it on my FDM printer, I did the one that's meant for resin.
Oh, you did? So yeah. The one you showed in that video is from an FDM printer?
Yeah, and it did struggle a little bit with some of the smaller pieces, but it still worked.
Oh, it looks great. Yeah. Okay, good. Good.
So worth experimenting with. I think it's great. I love seeing 3D printed inventions. And it's a neat little thing. I'm going to probably print some more I've been doing a lot of FDM printing, and I have lots of rolls. And
lots
I don't
of unfinished
want
rolls.
Tangled.
Yeah, my guess is that's a lot of people, a lot of 3D printers, probably people sitting around going, man, all these rolls, what am I going to do? How do I,
exactly.
Where's the,
how do I keep them from getting tangled? How do I, Yeah, well, cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
cool,
very nice
stuff. Keep up the good work.
Yeah,
thanks, man. We'll do.
All right, Bill. What are you doing, man? What's going on this week?
I have a bunch of stuff to catch you guys up on because I have been busy.
Mm.
Ooh.
The first thing, super quick. Brittany and I started our own Discord server as sort of my way of maybe weaning myself off of Twitter. Maybe I like the idea of having a place where I can have. Where the topics of discussion are my choice.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there is interested in hanging out with people who just want to talk about making things and creativity and sharing the stuff they're working on and asking questions and getting help, I just tweeted out the link. I don't have a custom link yet, but if you go check out twitter.com/chinbeard, you'll see a link to Discord where you can join us. We also share a lot of animal photos.
Oh,
that's something else I want to both share and see.
I can say after, pretty concerted effort in the last year or so to make our Discord a much more, the place to go instead of just social media du jour, it's worked out really well. I love how our Discord is these days. You guys are going to build something rad. I'm excited about that for you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm thinking at some point maybe of starting a gaming server of some kind. We've been playing Valheim again, so I might start a Valheim server. That would be a great place to sort of coordinate that. We'll see. I have plans.
Nice.
But so far, we've got a handful of people in there just really enjoying talking about making stuff. But also, we have a channel for Dragon Con specifically because we'll do a meetup. And while we are there, I want to have a place to talk to everyone else who's there. Nice. About Dragon Con stuff.
Very nice. Love it.
So we have been busy. Like I said, we have made several videos since we last spoke, and I'm going to go through them very quickly here.
All right.
First of all, you guys were talking about Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Britt's been playing it a whole bunch. It is really cool. We were contracted by Larian Studios to do a sponsored video and build something from the game.
What?
Oh, cool.
Dude, oh, yeah.
That's so cool. Let's hear all about this. I didn't know this, so I can't wait to hear what it is.
So all of these videos are obviously over at punishprops.com. You can see they're over on our YouTube page. We made the artifact that Shadowheart is carrying around. It is an icosahedron or a D20. But it is it's got like spiky things on it and it glows from the inside. We built ours out of foam and we used a foam called plastazote that is white, but it allows light through it. So we stuffed that thing full of LEDs so that when you turn them on, the light leaks through the white foam part and it glows from the inside and it looks really cool.
That's awesome, dude. She's my, by the way, so you can romance all the characters in this game, characters if you want. She's the only, I am devoted to Shadowheart. I don't care about anyone else. She's my favorite. She's awesome. I even interact with the voice actor. It's not creepy or anything, but she's very nice also. But man, that character's real good. She's real good. Totally my type. But anyway, that's great. Yeah, this little device you have, I won't give anything away, but it's a very mysterious thing in that game, especially early going, so you're not really sure what the crap you got there.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is yet. Britt's still working through Act 1, so we have no idea what it is. But we made it, and you can make it too. We made patterns for it, if you would like to go build one yourself out of foam. And this is a really good build if you're a beginner, because it doesn't use a lot of foam. You don't even have to put lights into it. You could just paint it to look like it's all lit up.
Hmm. So, let me ask you a question, because one of the things that makes it unique, if you think of a 20-sided die, it's the edge or the sides are flat. This thing has a concaveness to each side. That sounds hard to do in a solid piece of foam. How did you do that and not have it look all jank?
So the angles, they're triangles that we cut out, and the edges are cut at an angle. And I figured out what would be the best angle to get them to lean in slightly. Mm. And then with foam, you can heat up the piece of foam and form it a little bit. So I formed it over a sphere so that it dished a little bit. Mm. And then once I glued them all together, they maintain that shape.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that looks hard to do it uniformly, I guess is what I'm getting at. You know,
it's not too bad when you glue it together. They all sort of press themselves into a uniform shape.
Right. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Because
you think about, during the digital process or even with pen and ruler, you can mathematically everything can be identical. But the minute you have to make that physical, it just seems like a handful. So I'm impressed that you figured out a way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next build. We did a collaboration with our friends over at Film Riot. They wanted to do a video showing how to film miniature spaceships the same way that Industrial Light and Magic would do it. So they sent us a toy of the Millennium Falcon. It's about 10 inches long, so sort of a small-ish toy. They sent it to us because while toys are getting really good at model, they're generally painted hastily.
Yeah, right. Factory painted.
It's just a machine painted.
Doesn't look screen ready or anything.
Yeah. Sure. So we took that toy and I did a couple of things. The first thing I did was I added some mounting points to it with 1/4-20 screw holes so that they could screw them onto whatever film equipment they want.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. I machined some parts so they could both attach it from the top or the bottom, and then they could hide those parts if they aren't being used. So you could film it from the top or the bottom. And then we went over and repainted the whole thing just to give it a fresh paint job.
I'm looking at that paint job that's on there, you know, the out of the box, and it just looks like overly wet paintbrush with dirt on it.
So they put like logos and text and stuff, they usually get pretty well, but it's the nuance when it comes to weathering that gets rough.
Right. Yeah.
So we were able to go in, and it didn't take too long, but we were able to go in and really, really refine that. And I'm super proud of how it turned out. So that's another, again, another really fun project. If you're a beginner, get one of a toy spaceship from the store and just give it a new paint job. Really fun. You don't need a ton of tools. You could do it all by hand. I did some airbrushing, just some light airbrushing that helped. And especially if you want to get into airbrushing, this would be a great one to get started on.
That looks awesome.
All right. Third project. Cool. Third and most recent. We just put out a new video yesterday. So for Dragon Con, my friends and I are doing a group costume, which is so much fun. We're going obscure. We are dressing as the TGRI scientists from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
2.
Yeah, we this talked about this. This was you talked right. about it when it was still in its infancy, but look, you went ahead and did it. I think you weren't totally sure yet, right? Or you hadn't totally decided.
Yeah, we're committed. We have the orange jumpsuits. We have hard hats. I'm building a giant dandelion today for that.
Okay, awesome.
And then I made badges for everyone. So we talked about this last time, and I put up a video showing how to make badges for your costumes. And a lot of it's done in the program Inkscape, which is like Illustrator, but it's free. I even have a video course on Inkscape over on our store if you want to learn more about that. But I went through the whole process. We took photos of all our friends to put into the badges, and I made some legit looking badges. And I'm happy with how they turned out.
That's great. I can't wait for the group photos and all this stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, that is actually my favorite thing from Dragon Con every year when I don't go, which is most of the time, but is seeing the photos you send back, like with all the your costumes, but or cosplay, but also the folks that you pose with and the people you show. It's like, oh, they you know, you guys are all so massively talented at that thing.
Yeah. I do like how this is a little low key though, you know, this particular one.
Not everyone's gonna get it. And we have another one. And I'll just tell you, because you're not going to be there to see it. You know the meme of Hela from Thor Ragnarok and Taika Waititi, the director?
Yeah, when it's always like when your mom looks at your artwork or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Brittany got a Hela costume for like $30 on eBay. And I got the same outfit as Taika. And I'm going to have my iPad. Oh, my God. And we're just going to stand there. And I'm going to be showing her my iPad.
Oh,
and I bet
great.
Like 5 people are going to get it and they're going to think it's amazing.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's
for those
great.
Who don't know what this meme is, I don't know how you even search for it, but search for Hela Taika Waititi meme or something and you'll.
Yeah.
It's one of the most kept. It's the gift that kept on giving after somebody first used it. Mm-hmm. It's a really good. That's great. Very cool, man. I'm excited. This is when? It's like a week or.
This is in 2 days.
Shit. 2 days.
Wow. Yep.
All right. Look at you freaking sandbagging a wad of content before you leave.
Oh, yeah.
No yep. kidding.
Then I'm going to take all of next month off so I can play Starfield.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. That thing is, well, for early access starts like in a couple of days if you buy the expensive version. But then Game Pass and every other purchase version will be on the 6th, I think.
Uh-huh.
But that's going to consume my soul.
I got the expensive version.
Yeah, you did.
I got the watch with the case.
Of course you did. And you're probably going to take that out and make it cooler than when it came to you
probably.
Or something. The thing is, though, it's like all everybody wants to talk about is Baldur's Gate 3, but we're about to get another AAA freaking banger, hopefully.
It's going to be bonkers.
This year is insane.
Finish the Baldur's Gate in the next 2 days. Come Starfield. That's gonna take
right. That game
television.
Gets put on hold. Yeah, yeah. And it's something you're never gonna come back to if you don't do it.
I was saying this on core. It's just like that's all I'm gonna want to do. So I didn't get the expensive one because it's a $30 to play it early. That just seems like a lot, you know. And your version's different though. You're getting physical stuff. You're getting the watch. You're getting all that.
It was
that's
like
cool.
$300.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a whole different bag of cheese. But
yeah,
in my case, I'm really on the fence about the $30, and I don't know why. I know I want to play it early, but I don't. Do I really? I'd probably be okay till the 6th, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get a little more Baldur's Gate done.
There you go.
Get some Power Wash Simulator under my belt. I've been playing a bit of that. Anyway, Bill, it's always good to hear from you. Punishprops.com is the place to go. Check out the Punish Props YouTube channel where all this content is today. It's really good stuff.
Oh, before you go, do you have a link for us?
Oh, yeah. Give us a little thing. Bonus.
Film Riot, they put up their video for our collaboration. So head on over to their channel. Check out their video on filming Star Wars with miniatures.
Nice.
So you can see how our Falcon looks up on the big screen. And they did a great job. Yeah. So cool. I love those guys.
Those guys are rad. And always good to see when you guys are doing some crossover. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's Bill Durand. If you're in the somewhere in the Atlanta area during Dragon Con, look for a guy in a yellow jumper looking thing with a helmet and a name tag.
Come say hi.
Yeah, come say hi to him. Make your own meme with Bill Durand. Bill, have a fantastic week and enjoy the con, and we'll see you next time.
See later, friends.
Bye, Bill. Oh, it won't hang up.
I've got Bill's link up on quicktms.li, as well as the recommendals from last week, which I thought once I got to the cabins, I'd just go ahead and post it, and I never got around to it.
Well,
I had everything I need to do it, but I didn't do it.
It's fine. Look, you're going there to have a good time. Let Dunaway bring 400 pounds of crap from the 80s. Let him do all
which
that.
Which I had to haul in, by the way. I had to help him load in his 2017-inch CRT television and his VCR and his rewinder and his turntable.
Yeah, that's a lot of crap, man. He's so committed to that stuff, though.
He is, but you know what? It's you can tell it's a labor of love, and he loves it.
Yeah,
so.
He's got passion for it, which is, you know. You can't. Not everybody can say they got passion for stuff, but he can.
No. Yes, for sure.
Real quick to end things today, we have a call from Amy. She actually sent this before you guys went, which will explain some of what she says here. But she had a thought about a news story we covered last week. So here it is.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS. And this is Amy. And you guys are missing. I was just listening back to today's show. It's Monday, by the way. And you guys were talking about the lady with the Doc Ock arms thing. You guys are missing the most obvious application, which is for puppeteers. I mean, the octopus is actually the mascot of the Puppeteer Association of America. So there you go. I have given you a practical application for such a thing. And have a good week, guys.
Oh, I forgot I edited out the part where she says, and I look forward to seeing you there, Brian, because it just seemed weird posting it after the fact. I forgot I took it out, so that's all it was. So she was looking forward to seeing
you.
She
was looking forward to seeing you. Okay, good. Because, well, gosh, that changes everything, the way I treated those two. Because I wasn't sure they were looking forward to seeing me, and boy, I was really mean.
I know. Well, so you know, I took it out, and this is an extra level of caution. I didn't want to cause any more problems. But anyway, she's right. And I didn't know that why would an octopus be the logo of the Puppetry Association?
Because it's got all the arms, all the many arms, so you can have you can do a whole puppet. This is my guess. Somebody can confirm it, but I'm guessing just because you've got all the extra appendages to do more puppets.
I guess so. Well, then she's right. This is the utopia we've all been waiting for puppets.
For sure.
All you need is one person wearing that, and then one David Bowie, and you got yourself Labyrinth 2.
That's all you need. Yep. That's all you need.
That's it.
Oh, no more David Bowies, though. We've run out. Along the way from Atlanta to Asheville and back, we passed in one of the towns a Piggly Wiggly. And, of course, both ways, Amy had to do her pig deals are happening at the Piggly Wiggly. Like her
voiceover. I love that thing.
And she turned it on in like a split second, and it was just like, wow, just right into it. And it's so funny.
That's great.
That live.
Love that. I found an old file from her back. You remember back when we were on the, what did we call that weird little consortium group of podcasts we're all together? We
Pod
had
Show or Pod. Mevio or
no, it was something we all said on our shows. It was like,
oh,
this is you're listening to the Pod Something Network.
Tripod?
It's on. That's it. Tripod.
With was Len Peralta's deal, yeah.
Yeah. And if I see if I can find it. I don't know where I put these files. I found some really old audio of various people, and Amy's one of them.
Oh, funny. Wow.
Doing this Tripod Network. It's on. Or whatever. What a weird time.
Netcasts you love from people you trust. We've given up on this.
We no longer push for this weird idea.
We've quit trying to make netcasts a thing.
That's right, Brian Ibbotson. We don't do it anymore.
That was Brian Abbott. That's the
Now you're Brian Abbotson. Sorry.
I'm Brian Abbott.
You say Abbott or Abbotson? I don't remember
now. I think just Abbott, Brian Abbott. Oh, well, Brian Abbott's still doing Coverville, but
I have it right here. When I
become...
Let's see if I can find it.
Okay, I become Brian Abbotson, then we know I'll have fully made it.
Is it this one?
Brian Ibbott?
No. That's where he got you right. He did that.
Yeah.
Scott Johnson's got quite the...
Oh, yeah, he does. Oh, that's not it. Hold on. Brian Ibbotson?
Brian Ibbotson.
Ibbotson. Okay. I can't find the Abbotson or Abbott.
I don't know if we ever capped it. We just played it from the YouTube video or the podcast link.
I found it.
Brian Abbott is still doing Coverville.
Oh, that's what he almost said, Abbotson. He went, Brian Abbott.
He almost said Abbotson. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going to say Abbotson because that's wrong.
I've been corrected so many times on that. I will say Abbott, which is correct.
Yeah, we'll get that fixed.
That's amazing. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Look, we got a brand new month rolling over, and that's a perfect time to hop in. We're going to do a play date this weekend. Are we doing our normal Friday time, did we say?
Well, we should talk about that because we've had some people request to do a Saturday play date so that people who work on Fridays can participate.
I think that would be fine to do it after Film Sack or something.
Yeah. Could you throw up a like a poll on or just we just do it. Maybe we just do it and we don't even like give people the option.
Yeah, we're gonna dictate your lives. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Why don't we say so we usually end around what, 11 at the latest?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we said
maybe start 11:30 or
11:30, like, yeah. I like that. Let's say 11:30.
Yeah.
11:30 Saturday play date. That means anybody, actually. This isn't just patrons. Mm-hmm. Anybody in the audience who wants to come watch and even maybe play. Patrons get first shot, but if you if we fill up slots or whatever, you can definitely get in. Don't know what we're playing yet, but we'll figure that out. There was talk of what was that? I'll have to do some research. Somebody was saying,
is there a new game that we could possibly do?
That'd be great. But I can't remember if it was like more than a... If it was enough, what we want is stuff where, at least 8 or more people can play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if what they talked about was that, so I got to find out. I'll find out.
Okay. Yeah.
But something. Anyway, that'll happen Saturday, 11:30. There, we did it. We locked it in. 11:30 Saturday.
11:30, we've locked it in. It's happening. Help, it's happening.
That's right. Most Fridays you get your couch parties, which we'll return to the very following week. And every day you're going to get pre-show content as well. You're going to get other great monthly benefits. You can only get those by being a patron at patreon.com/TMS. Big thanks to everyone who already does. And if you have other questions, you want to request songs, you have all those other links we always talk about, quicktms.li is linked there as well. You can go to frogpants.com/TMS to get everything, all of it. And we record every morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv if you want to watch us live. All right, that is going to do it.
Town of Salem?
What is? Who? Where?
The game, the multiplayer game, Merrick said Town of Salem. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like an online one-night werewolf kind of thing.
Salem. I haven't heard of this.
I'll give you a link.
Unless this is the one they were telling me. It's a video? Oh, yeah.
Blankmediagames.com.
It's $5.
Oh, America was suggesting it. This looks really cool. This would be a great one to do.
So it's $5. 2014 is older.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No kidding.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if this... Can people join in if they don't have it? Well, we'll look into it. I know there's a few of these things floating around.
A Town of Salem 2 on Steam, too, so we probably want to get the sequel. But, yeah, we'll talk about it. That sounds actually really, really... that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. That one just came out August 25th.
Did it? Okay, so that might be why it's...
$8.
Popular. And we can, it's basically Among Us verbally.
That could be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I'd totally be up for that.
The only reviews that are bad are saying, very fun game, but toxic community. Well, we're not doing that because it'd be just us. Good. So,
yeah.
That
problem is solved right there.
This guy says, best social deduction game ever if you are racist. So there must be a.
I think
they clearly have a community problem, but we wouldn't have that problem because it'd be us playing. So
that's definitely a them problem and would not be an us problem.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, all right, that's going to do it for today, Brian. Let's play a song to take us out. What do you have?
Yeah, absolutely. This one, I'm finally getting to this, and I apologize. I'm getting to it late, but we had a lot of stuff going on this month. This one was from the 11th of this month, so a couple weeks, 3 weeks late. Hi, Scott and Brian, says Anonymous. I'm keeping myself anonymous as I was the emailer for Therapy Thursday back in October 2021 episode. Episode number 2190, dealing with a lack of will to live. You mentioned that you would like to hear an update, but there really wasn't any change until recently. A mere week and a half ago, I met someone. She's also someone that has had to deal with loss. She's a widow. We have connected in a way that is almost troublesome with how powerful it is. Last night, she proposed to me. She wants to start the rest of our lives together as soon as possible. We're going to the courthouse on Friday. I've never been one to rush things like this, but it feels right. I was wondering if there was a cover of Adam Sandler's Grow Old With You to play in celebration of our nuptials. If not, another appropriate selection would be a cover of Queen's Love of My Life. I know this isn't much notice, but if you have a spot on Friday or soon after that, I can surprise my Scottish tornado of affection with It Would Be Appreciated. Signed, Anonymous.
This is great news to hear that this is all going on for you. This is great.
Absolutely. All of that is makes us happy to hear. So yeah. Congratulations, Anonymous. And Grow Old With You, we've got a cover of that. This one's by Brent Morgan. Came out as a single this year, and it's a sweet song. I'll tell you that, one of our first class passengers has asked to sing this song and dedicate it to a person in coach, and we're going to allow it because we basically let our first class passengers do whatever the beep they want. Uh-huh. So here you go, going out to you, and congratulations, and good luck, Anonymous. We love hearing from you, this great news. Here is Grow Old With You by Brent Morgan.
I want to make you smile whenever you're sad. Carry you around when your arthritis is bad. Oh, all I want to do is grow old with you. I'll get you medicine when your tummy aches. Build you a fire if the furnace breaks. So it could be so nice growing old with you. I'll miss you, kiss you, give you my coat when you are cold. Need you, feed you, I'll even let you hold the remote control. So let me do the dishes in our kitchen sink. Put you to bed when you've had too much to drink. Oh, I could be the one who grows old with you. I wanna grow old with you.
Get more at frogpants.com.
I threw a wish in the well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.